Hi, friends. Thanks for joining us for the Messiah's Misfits podcast. No matter where you are in your walk of faith, our podcast is to help you grow and to learn. I'm Mary Ventures, and I'm joined with my friends Randall and Josh Newby.
Shalom.
Hello.
It's not Jewish, folks. Well, we have a very interesting subject tonight, and we're going to discuss shame. I thought he was going to sing for a minute, but he didn't sing.
No, please.
No, you're safe. You're safe.
Well, I'm going to read this little thing to get us kicked off here, but it says, experience of shame appear to embody the root meaning of the word, to uncover, to expose, to wound. They are experiences of exposure. The exposure may be to others, but whether others are or are not involved, it is always exposure to one's own eye. That was from a little Helen lady that I found, but
that's great. That's a good. It's a good opener.
It's a good opener.
Wow, shame is something we really don't talk about a whole lot.
No.
We kind of hit the pinnacle of it at times in our lives or discussions and say, "Well, ain't that a shame? What's a shame that happened?" Or, but when you start looking at the scripture and digging into what shame is, it really opens up a large area, a large field that really needs to be exposed and needs to be dealt with.
Right.
Shame can bring some serious consequences and as a result of wrongdoings. And we look more into some definitions and a little bit deeper into scripture of it and things. But I feel like as our audience is tuning in tonight about this, it's I was sharing this subject with an individual today, and he, you know, he said, I've dealt with that. I've had to deal with that in my life.
Right.
And I just thought, so, you know, how many others are dealing with this?
Right.
How many others are feeling this here, you know? Because it can be, you know, when you talk about shame, it goes in, it's, like I said, it's really a large field that we open up. It's a larger saying can of worms, but it can be used to embarrass people.
Sure.
Humiliation. We see it. We've been here a lot of days. Well, my kids have been bullied in school and they've been shamed you know, for their body size or whatever may be the case, and it's really a tragic, and it's a shame. It just happens. But let's get to the point of why or how or this comes about and what brings this about and why people want to act like this, you know. And because as we start studying the Bible and looking at different people and different times of their life, you'll find that it was in there, that people dealt with this. And here we are, the people are still dealing with this today.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the examples that I would find would be found in the book of 1 Samuel in the second chapter. I'm talking about Eli and his two sons. So in Eli, the second chapter, I think it's in verse 12. I believe that's...
It's Samuel the second, right? First Samuel.
First Samuel, the second chapter, verse number 12. It said, now the sons of Eli were the sons of Belial. Wow.
Right.
That means they were worthless sons.
Right.
I mean, that's got to be detrimental and an embarrassment to a priest who's running the temple, knowing that your sons are being called worthless men, the sons of Belial, the sons of Deb, because he said they knew not the Lord.
Right.
So that lets us know right there that a person's lifestyle, a person's behavior is what's going to bring forth the consequences of shame.
Sure. And I think people should know what Belial means. You know, in Hebrew word, it's used to characterize the wicked or, as Pastor said, the worthless. You know, the etymology of the word is often understood as lacking worth.
Yeah.
So worthless, yes.
I mean, so as a father, you want to be proud of your children.
Right.
But for your congregation, your people in the town are calling your children, they're just absolutely worthless.
Right.
So that's got to bring a reproach upon all of Eli's work, his name, what he stands for, the truth, what he's believing in. It's got to bring a reproach And that's what we don't want to do, because shame will bring a reproach because of our actions. Right. It can bring a reproach upon a family. Mm-hmm. It can bring a reproach upon your good name. An event that's happened in the church can bring reproach against your church. Yes. It can bring a stigma against that. And so we want to guard against this and protect against it. So look on down into the 22nd verse. And so the 22nd verse, it says, "Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel." So it's got back to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's heard the report that's coming in of how they lay with the women and assembled at the door of the tabernacle, the congregation. And he said unto them, "Why do you such things? For I hear of your evil dealings." And that right there, right. Evil, there was sons of Belial, they were worthless, but their dealings were evil.
Right.
They were doing wicked deeds, their activity was evil. It was an abomination, it was abominable mm-hmm. to what was going on here, what everything that Eli believed in, his sons were doing just the opposite.
Right.
And he says, "For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people."
Right.
He says, "Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress." So they were causing God's people to sin.
Follow them.
To follow, commit mm-hmm. transgressions, and to commit iniquity. He says, "If one man sin against another, the judge will judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them."
Mm-hmm.
So even Eli, in a sense, was trying to correct them.
Right.
But they didn't want to follow through with
that. They wouldn't take that correction.
They didn't. They wouldn't. Yeah, they wouldn't receive the correction.
Right.
And so that's got to be hard for a father. That would bring a shame.
Right.
That would bring a shame. And when you look at this here, when you start looking at the shame, there's many words, definitions that ties in with shame. And you can start looking at the word of infamous, infamy, which means a bad reputation.
Right.
I mean, these guys brought a bad reputation against Eli's name.
Yeah.
Against the priesthood. It was bringing a public reproach.
Like notorious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was something that was discreditable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are some things that we needed to discuss
right.
to help people. Criminal activity was taking place. It was causing people to commit transgressions.
Yes.
But also, there is consequences to that behavior.
Yes.
And that's what Eli was saying. He said, "No, that the Lord would slay them." Mm-hmm. That's pretty serious.
Right.
So if a person continues doing this,
right.
there's going to be consequences. I mean, even in our laws, here in Oklahoma, in the state of Oklahoma, if you do things, you could have your voting rights taken away.
Sure.
You can no longer carry firearms.
Right.
I mean, there are just some things that's out there that has criminal that certain
repercussions.
Rights, yeah, mm-hmm. criminal rights can be taken away as a citizen.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, this is what shame does. It brings embarrassment, brings humiliation to not maybe to ourselves but to others.
Right.
And so so this right,
but your whole family, whole family suffers when these things happen because they are connected to you, and when they're connected
yes.
to you. You know, so we need to think about that.
Yeah, we want to live our lives above reproach.
Right.
We want to live our lives beyond reproach. And
right.
We don't want to be the subject of bringing reproach to our families or to our church or
exactly.
to our business or to our lives. We don't want to live a discreditable life, but mm-hmm. we want to be a life who's a. Well, Jesus said he wants us to live as blameless.
Right.
He wants to live as we desire us to live blameless lives, and in Jesus said there was no guile found in his mouth.
No,
I mean
he said, "Live as I am, perfect as I am."
Yeah, yeah. I mean he was living a faultless, blameless life, and that's what God calls us to do.
Right.
So it's going to require for us to be honest.
Right.
To live lives of integrity.
Yes.
To be what the saying is, live above board.
Right.
You know,
1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness."
Yes.
You know, and it would be hard to find somebody who hasn't had shame
right.
in their life.
Yeah.
But praise God for Jesus.
Amen.
You know, we need him.
We've done things that has embarrassed ourselves.
Yes.
We've done things that embarrassed friends, family.
Yes.
You know, I like David. Man, David is probably a really good example in this. We can find him in the Psalm. We can find him.
Right.
Because David's life was really an open book.
Yes.
Even for us. But he says in Psalms, the 51st chapter, he said, first thing he says was, Lord, have mercy on me.
Mm-hmm.
David knew he had messed up.
Yes, he did.
David knew he'd done blew it. He'd done messed up according to, and he said, God, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions.
Right.
Blot out my sins, these stains.
Which he had many.
He had many.
Mm-hmm.
He had many stains here. And he knew where to go.
Yes, he did.
He knew where to go
yes,
to.
He
Even
did.
Though he said, I messed up, I blew it, God, I failed you.
Yes.
God, I know that you're a God of mercy, you're a God of grace,
yes.
and I'm going to approach you.
And that's how all Christians should be. You
yes.
should know to go to your Heavenly Father.
Because he does love.
That's right. And forgive.
Yes.
He forgives us.
David said, Lord, wash me.
Right.
You know, first thing is to acknowledge. Acknowledge, that's what David did. He said, for I acknowledge my transgressions.
Mm-hmm.
We need to acknowledge our, not just say, Lord, for I messed up, Lord, and not just say, Lord, I'm sorry I got caught. I'm sorry.
Right.
But be
truthful.
Yeah, be
yes.
truthful. Sorry that you, because he said, against you and thee only have I sinned.
Right.
That was confession being made. And he says in verse 8, he said, I want you to purge me.
Mm-hmm.
Purge me with that hyssop. Purge me and I shall be clean. Wash me. And I shall be well. He knew that he had stains.
Right.
He knew that he needed God's touch. He
right.
knew that he needed God's love upon him.
Right.
So when you take this and you go to Psalm the 25th chapter, David was writing here. He was saying, Lord, he said, I know that you, this was a prayer that David prayed as a prayer of defense, and it was a prayer of guidance.
Mm-hmm.
But toward the end of it, he said, Lord, it's a prayer of pardon.
Right.
It's a prayer of pardon for us. He said in 25 and 6, he said, remember, O Lord, your unfailing love
yes.
and compassion, which you have shown from long ago past.
Mm.
Thank God for God's unfailing love and
yes.
his unfailing compassions. Thank God for that. Look in verse 2. He said, I trust in you.
Yeah.
That's important. We know we messed up.
Right.
And people ain't going, and there's people that's not going to trust us.
Right.
And we're not going to trust people.
Right.
There's a God we can trust.
That's right.
There's a God we can trust. He said, God, I trust in you because you are my God. Do not let me be disgraced.
Right.
And God will never let us be ashamed.
Right. He says in Romans 10:11, just to add to that, he says, for the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be put to shame.
Amen.
So, you know, trust in him.
Trust in him.
That's right.
Trust in a God who's not going to shame us
right.
or embarrass us or thank God for
right.
that. He said, no one who trusts in you will ever be disgraced.
Right.
Thank God
ever.
For that.
Yeah.
What a powerful promise tonight.
Yes.
And he said, but disgrace comes upon those who try to deceive others. So either
yes.
we're going to live a life of honesty and integrity,
right.
or we're going to live a life of shame.
Yes.
We're going to live a life of criminal activity or
sure.
a lifestyle of a nature that's going to bring abominations and it's going to bring embarrassment to.
Lots of people have had pasts. That's fact.
We've all got a past.
That's right. So Isaiah, some more colorful than others, but I'm just saying, Isaiah 54:4 says, "Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame, for you will forget the shame of your youth, and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore." You know, that's the good thing is. No more.
Right.
And we've said this before. You come to him and you apologize and you apologize again and you ask for his skin and he's like, what are you talking about?
Right. But we don't want to continue in that
no.
sin.
No.
We don't want to continue doing those deeds
exactly.
that brings reproach. We want to live that life that, he said, if you're in the flesh, you cannot please
That's
the
right.
Lord.
That's right.
So we want to, Paul said, you got to mortify that flesh because your
Daily.
Flesh don't want to go away.
No.
But you've got to just beat that old flesh
right.
black and
well,
blue. You've got to bring it under subjection.
Paul said, you know, I repent daily because daily we sin.
Yeah.
And it may not be the same thing every day, but Sometimes sin creeps up on us.
Sometimes it's ignorantly or,
it is.
Or intentionally.
That's right.
But we don't have to sin because the power of sin has been broken over our lives.
That's right.
So we want to be led. So that's what David was continuing to say here in the 25th chapter. He said, the Lord is good, and he does what is right. He shows the proper path to those who go astray. So if we're going down the wrong road, if we're going down the wrong path, God will lead us.
Yes.
He brings us out of that shame, brings us out of that activity. And he said, I want you on this path.
Right.
So he shows us the path to be on because the Lord leads us with his unfailing love and his faithfulness to all those who obey his decrees.
Wow.
So
that's love.
God's the answer.
Yes. Oh, for sure.
God's word is the answer here. When we study it, we meditate upon it, and we apply it, excuse me, to our hearts and to our lives tonight. He said, my eyes are always looking to the Lord for help.
Praise God.
Isn't that good?
Yes, that's good.
We've got to say, Lord, you are my help.
And I don't know about you, but I do that a lot. You know, you have to, Romans 5:5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You know, praise God for the Holy Ghost that gives us the strength to overcome our flesh.
Amen.
You cannot overcome your flesh without him.
That's right.
You will fall right back into that trap, right back into that pit. You know, when you get out from under that blood covering, You're just an open target for Satan. Yes. He's coming for you.
That's dangerous.
It is. And then 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth.
Yes.
So Amen. You need to know what's right and wrong.
That's right. And that's what David said here. Mm-hmm. The Lord does what is right.
Yes.
He does what is good. So the Holy Spirit will lead us in that direction. He says, David said, or God says, turn to me and have mercy on me, for I am alone and in deep distress. Mm-hmm. My problems go from bad to worse. Oh, save me from them all.
Yeah. You know, and they certainly did.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes if you don't deal with it,
right,
you'll have the snowball effect.
That's right.
It's going to get worse and worse.
Or try to cover it up yourself or try to fix it yourself.
And David did that.
Yep, he did.
That's what David tried
to do. He did very poorly. Poor job of it.
So if you go back to 51, that same story, we tie these together.
Yes.
That's why he said, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me.
Right.
That's what needs to happen.
Yes. And down in 10, he says, go back to 8, he says, make me to hear joy again and gladness again. Now, I'm adding that.
Yep, that's right.
That the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice.
Yes, yes.
You know, he remembers what it was like to be in the sweet spot of the Lord. You know, right there, and now he's sinned and he's taking himself out of that.
So, what did he need?
Forgiveness.
He needed forgiveness.
Yes.
Pardon.
Yes.
He needed pardon.
Absolutely.
So that's what David was praying in the 25th chapter. He said, "I needed pardon."
Absolutely.
You know, I was remembering a story back when I was 14 years old. I'd go to Grandpa's house to get a can of black eyed peas, I think it was, if I remember. And I was 14, and I got in his car.
You weren't supposed to be driving.
I wasn't supposed to be driving, but I did. I was 14, and I got in Grandpa's car, and I drove up to Granny and Grandpa's house, and I got the stuff, and I got back in the car, and it rolled in the floorboard, and I tried to get it, and the car started rolling by itself, and next thing I know, I hit the gas instead of the brake, and I was in Grandpa's car, and I rear-ended Grandpa's truck, and there I sat. I just wrecked both of Granny and Grandpa's cars, and, you know.
You were in a dilemma.
I was in a dilemma. I was illegal driving, And so I got back, and I told my brother about it, and, you know, that didn't help anything.
He just told you how bad you were.
He just said, son, you're in trouble. That didn't help.
You're at death's door. Yes.
And so I went and got Grandpa, and I brought him out, and I apologized greatly and deep best I could. So remorseful, and I'll never forget this word. I'll never forget that day. He said, son, it'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be okay, son. You'll be all right.
Right.
So, to make this long story short, he said, but next day he called the insurance guy, and the insurance guy said, Mr. Newby, it'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take care of this for you. It's going to be okay. He said, well, he was under. He said, it doesn't matter. We're going to take care of this for you. And so my grandpa went to my dad, and he says, son, don't you say one word to that son, to that boy. Don't you say one word to him.
Right.
I think that, I know it was. That was pardon.
That was. It was a full pardon.
I got a full pardon from that deal because somebody interceded
for me.
That's
right. But, you know, if you would have went to your grandfather in a different way and said, well, I hit your car, but it was your beans' fault, then beans you had me go pick up, you would have got a totally different response from him.
But I came with a humble,
broken heart. You did. But with true repentance.
But that's where we need God to step up and intercede and say, it's okay.
Right.
We understood you made a mistake.
Yes.
But it's going to be corrected. That's where Jesus comes in as the insurance salesman. He said, Mr. Newby, we're going to take care of this.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So that was an abundant pardon in my life. I think Isaiah, the 55th chapter, reminds us of that. Mm-hmm. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found.
That's right.
Call ye upon him when he is near.
That's right.
I seek
him. Because there's going to come a day, folks, when he's not going to be found here.
That's it. And look at verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts.
Wow.
So there's got to be that change that takes place in our lives. And then in the second part, they says, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon.
Wow.
That's precious.
That is.
I experienced that.
Right, you did.
I experienced that right there, and I sought the Lord. I prayed hard I prayed all the way back to the house. I said, Lord, what am I going to do about this? I felt horrible, but it was beyond my ability to fix it.
Right.
I messed up.
You just had to tell the
truth. I made a mistake, and
He does
I
say the truth will set you free.
And I owned up to it.
Absolutely.
And we can't blame somebody. We got to own up to our mistakes.
Right.
And, but, you know, shame can be a noose
around your neck if you're not careful.
Yeah. It's something that's got to be dealt with. And, you know, it's just a feeling that comes from the consequences of something that was done dishonorable.
Right.
You know, something was done improper. You know, let God correct it.
Right.
And we need to correct it. And we can. We can by asking God to forgive us.
True repentance.
By seeking him and saying, God, help me.
Because if you're just saying something to God, it's with just words, and you're not truly meaning it, it doesn't get any higher than the roof.
Just futile.
Yep.
It's just futile.
Right.
Wow. This is, you know, we could probably go on more, go on some other things, and I know that, and I know that there is. Let's go to Jeremiah. I will tie this in. Go to Jeremiah.
Jeremiah 3.
The third chapter.
Okay.
There was, let me find it here. Jeremiah, the third chapter, in verse 1. In verse 1, I thought this was very interesting. In Jeremiah, the third chapter, said, they say, if a man put away his wife and she go from him, and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return again to me, saith the Lord. So no matter how many times
you've walked away,
God was pleading with them, saying, return again to me. That's the love of a father who's willing to forgive. Because they were committing shame and reproach and evil deeds and wickedness, which was an abomination. He said, you played the harlot with many lovers.
Right.
He said, but return to me.
Yes.
That's gracious.
Yes, it is.
That's gracious. Verse 2, lift up thine eyes unto the high places and see where thou hast not been lying with. He said, show me one place where you've not committed abominable acts.
Right.
Show me one place where you've not been and done evil deeds. They couldn't do it.
No.
Because they've done evil all over the land.
Right.
He said, as the Arabian in the wilderness, thou hast polluted the whole land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. God knew what they'd done.
Mm-hmm.
He was placing, he said, verse 3, therefore the showers, which referring to the rain, have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain. Thou hast a whore's forehead. thou refusest to be ashamed. They wouldn't acknowledge it.
It's kind of like today, isn't it?
They would not acknowledge their wrongdoing.
No.
He said, you refuse to be ashamed. You refuse to accept that you've done evil. You've committed iniquity. They got so calloused, and they got to the place to where it didn't even bother them.
Right. They turned away from what God's told them.
Exactly. So when you look in the sixth chapter, it follows through with that verse in 6 and 15, and he says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush.
Mm.
They had gotten so calloused and so cold and so hard-hearted, they lost their conscience. Their conscience became seared as a hot iron.
Wow.
They felt no reproach. They felt no wrong. They felt no shame of what they'd done.
Right.
You can't even blush about it anymore.
Yep.
And I feel like that's where we are in this generation.
They bought into the lie.
It's a generation of wantonness.
Yes.
It's a generation to where it's unrestrained lawlessness.
Right.
Penalties are going unpunished. Crimes are going to be unpunished. They're calling evil good now and
good evil
right now. Right and doing right. And it's just abomination time.
Mm-hmm.
And the people are not owning up to that.
No.
It's really a crime. It's really a serious crime. Things are being done maliciousness right now. And it's just horrible.
It is.
It's breaking my heart to see this nation that is being corrupted.
We've turned away from our first love.
Absolutely. And God is saying, come to me again.
Yes.
Return to me.
I'll take you back.
Return to me.
Right. And they won't. The word says they won't.
Yeah, that's sad.
Yes.
God wants to remove that shame.
Yes.
He wants to remove the guilt or bring forgiveness.
Right. Psalms 119:80 says, let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed.
Yeah.
You know, if we would just do what he asks us and tells us to do, man, we'd be a lot happier.
Yes.
We certainly would come up against it a lot less.
It's just doing what is right.
Right, exactly. It's
following his commands, being obedient to his will.
Yes.
If we do that, we'll never be ashamed.
Right.
God's not going to do anything to bring reproach upon us.
No.
He's not going to do anything to shame his name.
No.
And we sure don't want to reproach his name.
Well, he doesn't lie. He doesn't make mistakes.
And he's our example.
That's right.
He's our example that we should live respectable lives and be honest of integrity.
Right.
And he said, live blameless in a corrupt, adulterous, wicked generation.
Yes. Well, if you go to 1 John 2:28, it says, and now little children abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming.
Amen.
That's what we're here to help you prepare for.
Absolutely. Good scripture.
We want you to be ready because he's coming back.
Amen.
And he's coming back for those that are looking for him.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Praise God.
Wow. 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 I think this is a great subject. I'm glad that we have brought this out into the open and kind of get people to thinking and challenge.
Right. Read the word.
Challenge them to this. And
read the word for what he has for you.
Yes.
Yes.
Bring light up on this particular show. Let's pray with our audience tonight that God would lead them and guide them through these difficult, turbulent times that we're living in.
Yes.
Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for... Lord, as David said, your grace and your mercy, Lord. He said, I trust you. Lord, as we trust you tonight, just as David did. Lord, that you will lead us not into temptation, but you will deliver us from evil, from the evil one. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for the help us to live lives of integrity, lives that are going to be honest, lives that are open before you. Lord, I pray to help us to be above board living. Lord, beyond reproach. Lord, help us not to bring reproach upon our families, our business, our homes, our churches. But God, help us to be blameless and a faultless people without spot, without wrinkle, Lord, in this day that we're living in. Father, a day of perilous times. Father, we just pray tonight, Lord, you'll strengthen us. Lord, help us to be guided by your Holy Spirit. Lord, renew that right spirit within us tonight. Lord, lead us in a way that is humble. Lord, lead us in a way that is right and correct. And Father, we thank you for your unfailing love. and your faithfulness tonight. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Keep us until that day. Yes. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise God. Well, that was very good, and we hope you all enjoyed it. And we just want to say thanks for listening to the Messiah's Misfits podcast. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe wherever you're listening today so you don't miss an episode. It would also mean a lot if you took the time to give us a review so others can find our podcast and we can continue to serve and to teach.
The Messiah's Misfits podcast is a ministry of Yale Assembly where our mission is to build kingdom people. To find out more about Yale Assembly and our other ministries, you can go to yaleassembly.org.